Thank you, Vicki. Good morning, everybody. Take out your Greek primers. Are you to bring them? Kidding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for those who love your word and wouldn't miss a session of its teaching. Sometimes, Father, you show us things, new things, that we don't immediately grasp or understand, and we wait patiently upon you, waiting through faith by the Spirit for the hope of righteousness, which you always deliver right on time. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his word, which is his mind or his thinking. Thank you for the details of Scripture that are so important to grasp and that open up a wide vista of understanding, even through minute exegesis, which renders major understanding. Those who can just kind of go with it when it happened. Father, we just thank you for these things. Bless the word of God as it goes forth. We continue in Romans chapter 13, a phenomenal passage about how we live in this world and what is due from me and from you. Part 2. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's our name of our message, title of our message. What is due from me and you? Part 2. I love the rhyme things, as you well know. Sunday, November 25th, I believe, is it? Is that correct? Good. Yep. And I'm here at the right time, in the right place, 2018. My job as a pastor, my pleasure and my privilege is studying the Word of God for myself first, always for myself, and then for you. All of us are required to study the Word for ourselves. But what pastors do is they study for themselves and for you. And they study for you in a greater depth than you do or can do. And they use exegesis. And it brings forth an accuracy of interpretation that's not possible by reading the English translation of the Bible. Without it, I'm going to make a point. Without it, you cannot be sure what is being said, to whom or by whom, whether an action is passive or active, direct or indirect, singular or plural, past, present, future, masculine, feminine, or neuter, first, second, or third person, whether it's conditional or unconditional, whether it's commanded, proposed, or promised, on behalf of someone else or concerning any subject or anything. All of this is made plain by New Testament Greek that is much more precise than any other language that has ever existed or will ever exist. The problem is we don't speak it. Greek grammar is not as difficult as you think. And it's not as difficult to understand as English grammar. It's far more exact and distinct in each and every part of speech. So don't be afraid to learn it. I'm going to back off on it, but don't be afraid to learn it. And to learn to use the many tools available that make it more simple and straightforward than you ever thought it was. And it isn't hard and simple. A couple things you have to learn. So let's go to Romans 13. Like I said, I'm backing off on the exegesis because it's confusing people, evidently. And I wish it wasn't, but it is. That's okay. And I'm here to do whatever you want me to do. I'll always use it. But anyway, Romans 13:1. What we'll do is we'll summarize what we taught on Tuesday and then move ahead. It says, let every soul... Here he's speaking to believers only. The epistles of the New Testament are directed toward believers only. So this is a mandate. Let every soul, it's in the subjunctive, That means it's up to you. You may or may not choose to, but let every soul. It's not an imperative, but it's in the imperative sense. It's subjunctive in the imperative sense. Imperative means a command. Subjunctive means it's presented and you may or may not acquiesce or comply with what it says. Let every soul be in subjection to the governing authorities. This is a very practical instruction from the Word of God. For there is no authority except from God. All authority comes from God. There is direct divine authority, the things that God has commanded in His Word, and then there's what's called divine delegated authority, the authority that He's invested in man, in institutions. In human government. That's what Paul's talking about here. So if you want to be happy, and if you want to have a good life, obey or subject yourself to the governing authorities. And he says, for there is no authority except the authority that comes from God. And every institution of authority that exists was established by God. Indeed it was. The Greek word is hupotasso, which means that it's been arranged by God. That it's been structured and arranged in an orderly fashion by God. And it is for the protection and happiness of man that these things exist. So he goes on in the next verse. Verse 2, he says, therefore, he who resists the authority, the governing authorities, has opposed. That's the word antitasso, which means he stands against and rebels against the very ordinance of God. Those who resist the governing authorities stand opposed to the ordinance of God. And it says, and they who oppose it will receive judgment. That is the negative consequences of the bad choices. And that upon themselves, upon and within themselves, they'll be disoriented to God's plan. That is, if they don't obey the governing authorities. So, verse 4, verse 3 says, for rulers